In the last days, what does he mean by, this is one of these prophecy code words in a way, what does he mean by in the last days? Essentially, it's Messiah's day, mm-hmm. basically, Messiah's time, the end times, Messiah's time is where he's getting at, really, yeah? And it's a promise. This is him looking very far forward into the future. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief amongst the mountains. Mm-hmm. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. What's the mountain of the Lord's temple? Well, yes, that's near there, yes. Where's the temple built? It's called Temple Mount. It's Mount Moriah. Mount Zion and Mount Moriah are two mountains in Jerusalem, basically. So it's going to be established, it's going to be restored, that's the promise, as chief among the mountains. Does that mean to say it's going to be higher than all the hills in the world?
No, it's
significance, its importance,
yeah.
And I might hazard a guess here, I don't know, but when the Lord comes back, there's going to be some major changes to this planet. And if Jerusalem's made higher than Mount Everest, or if Everest is flattened down, I've no problem with that. I don't know, but it's more about the importance of this place. It's going to be tops in terms of what's the important part of planet Earth.
The Lord's in charge of it.
And that's where the Lord is. That's why he chose that for his own special purposes. The amazing thing to my mind is, if you look at one of our maps of the world, you know, the way we lay it out anyway, with America on one side and Asia on the other side, Israel's bang in the middle, absolutely central, it is. And this place, this mountain of the Lord's temple, is going to be established. That means it's fixed, it's sorted. We are in the last days, but
there were more. There have been more last days.
Yes.
Than there were days from when this was written, until the Messiah came. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Well, the first period of time, if we date the creation back to about 4000 BC, if you're a younger chap like me.
I'm saying from when this was written.
When this was written, what, around about 700 BC.
So there were 700 years.
Years before Messiah comes.
And then there were
2000, we've had 2000, that's right, yes. Yeah.
And has this prophecy yet come to pass?
Not in its fullness.
No.
Not in its fullness. But one of the things that we are, I'll try and bring this out as we go along, we're in the period what we might call, it's now and not yet.
Yes.
There are things that we enjoy, it's all about the kingdom. This is about the kingdom of God being established on earth. That's what it's about, yeah? If you want any summary, that's it. The kingdom of God is coming.
Yes. Which is where we will spend eternity.
Yes. And the interesting thing about it is, this is talking about the future, but we are in the kingdom now. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, when he came to earth, he went around preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. It doesn't mean it's in the future, it means it's here. Because when the king's there, the kingdom's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's now and not yet. Because it's not fulfilled as this. Because it says, it'll be raised above the hills, all and peoples will stream to it. Yeah? So what does it mean, going to stream to it? They're going to visit there. Why? To worship. Yeah, that's the idea. They're going up to Jerusalem to worship. That's the picture language, yes? And in a sense, I haven't visited Jerusalem yet, but my heart goes there to praise the Lord. I mean, yes. And nations are doing that today, aren't they?
Yeah.
So it's now, but not yet.
Yeah.
This is when it will be finally accomplished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And many nations will come. Sorry, you're going to say.
Micah's saying the Gentiles are coming.
Right. Many. This is verse 2. Many nations will come.
Yeah.
So many nations means not just Israelites. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It means the rest of us.
Haven't they got to be? You know, the peoples have got to be religious. No. Gone to first, what we're talking, you know, people have been told about
converted
the Lord first,
yes.
Before they can before they can go there, we've got to reach them, is it?
Reach, yes. That's assuming this has happened.
Yes.
The nations are coming now because they've found out this God is the real one.
We've got to get to them first, as the Bible says.
Oh, yes, we have to go.
But I was just thinking that with that program the Earth from the satellite.
Sky, yeah.
You know, they're telling so much, so you know, you can't see under the trees quite always, but you should be able to tell from that where people, to a certain extent, haven't been reached, shouldn't they? More than we can now.
Well, we know to a large degree where the unreached peoples are now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and thankfully, I mean, there's a lot of mission going on now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know technology has its disadvantages, but the use of satellite and mobile stuff to reach people who could never be reached by physically going there is really, really mushroomed, which is lovely.
It's telling us.
I mean, there are lots of people, I'm told, in Islamic countries who get in contact with Christian channels because they're watching, they're listening, they're believing, even though they can't pop their heads above the parapet or they'll have it chopped off. Anyway, all right, so many nations, that's us lot. We'll come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Now, the interesting thing about that is, many nations will say, let us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what many nations do nowadays? They thump each other.
Yeah.
Don't they, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas here, they're united. Mm-hmm. Let's go together, yeah? Up to the mountain of the Lord. They want to come and worship to the house of the God of Jacob. So we know where we're going, do we? We're going to the house of the God of Jacob. That's the real God.
Mm-hmm.
Not any old tin pot idol or anything. Mm-hmm. Let's go there, yeah? He will teach us his ways. This is what the nations are saying, so that we may walk in his paths.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Lovely.
In order to walk, you need to know.
Yeah.
That's important. If you don't know what God wants, you can't do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying God will teach us his ways, and then we can live it. That's what it's about. Yep. Beautiful.
It reminds you of the poetry of the Psalms a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, this prophet's an amazing guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a wonderful phrase, the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yeah. Well, at that time, that's where Jesus is resident. Yeah, but, as I say, now we're not yet. Does the law go out from Zion now?
Yes.
Not literally now. Not literally, but I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I got news for you. This book, where did it spring up from? That country, those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all around the world, this this law.
Yes.
God, and when he says law, it means the teaching.
Yes.
God's teaching.
I mean, many of the original laws in the country are
based on this book. That's right, yes.
Yeah.
It will go, so the law will go from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this, we just mentioned the matter of mission, but you know when Jesus, it's in Acts chapter 1, he tells his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until the promised Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah.
You'll be my witnesses, he says.
Yeah.
Where? Starting in Jerusalem, then Samaria, and then the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably heard a message on that, something like saying, it's just, we can consider that spiritually. You start in Jerusalem, where you are, and it's like the ripple spreading out. Yeah? Where you are is the middle, and then the next bit's Samaria, and then the next bit's your neighbours, and people beyond, and all of that. That's how it works, yeah? In sharing the good news. But literally, it happened that way too. The news started in, where did the Holy Spirit first fall? In Jerusalem. Yes, and then where did the gospel go to? You read Acts, Samaria. Yeah, the Christians were scattered, they went to Samaria. Yeah, and then when the Christians got the message a bit more, they spread it outside to the Gentiles. Paul took the message all over the place. So that's what's happened. And the word's gone out.
The law has gone out, but now it's the word that's going out, isn't it? It's the law, the grace of God.
Yes, yeah, I mean the use of the word law, it's not saying it's the sort of idea of restrictive controls. God's word is teaching. The word law means teaching, basically, to start with. And the idea is that it's God's instructions. And some of them are law. God says, don't do that. And you know why he says, don't do that? Because it'll hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it'll hurt somebody else. So God gives us these laws for our good. But it's all teaching. And he wants us to know it so that we can live it. Yeah. Now then, this is the Lord, he's running the thing, the kingdom of God has arrived. So it says, he will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what happened with dear old Moses? His father-in-law turned up one day and says, if you carry on the way you're going, you're going to kill yourself. because he had a queue 10 miles long with people coming up saying, what does God want us to do about this? And Moses would sit about and ask the Lord, and he'd get the answer and tell them. And his father-in-law says, Moses, this is not good. It's wearing you out, and it'll wear them out as well. Queuing all day is not much fun. He says, what you need to do is appoint some leaders, right? Teach them what you know, yeah? They can handle all the easy stuff, and the really hard cases, you can come and ask the Lord for new directions on, yeah? And that worked, out right. Well, I don't see that happening here. We can all go to Jesus, apparently. It says all the nations can have their disputes settled, the questions that they have settled, from all over the place. I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's not my problem. He's going
to
sort it.
To some extent, he did it when he was on the earth.
Yeah, we've got the word now.
I'd say that. I mean, we're in this situation now where he's
But when he was on the earth, he couldn't be everywhere at once, and he can now, can't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But we've got the word now as well, of course. That answers most of the hard questions you'll ever have. If you just ask the Lord, what does he want me to want to know? He'll find it for you in the word somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Alright, so the law's going out, God's sorting out the disputes. And then we read this, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Swords and plowshares, swords and spears are war weapons, they're weapons, aren't they? And what are plowshares and pruning hooks? They're working instruments, they're agricultural instruments. You see, Micah was in an agricultural society, so he's using things that would be familiar to them. And this phrase is in front of the United Nations, isn't it?
Yes.
And like you say, they've got no idea what it means. They have an idea what it means, but what I'm getting at is this. They think they're going to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll sort out the nation's problems. Yeah. We'll fix all the issues. Yeah. But it's not that. Who's going to do it? It's God's going to do it so that they can then start living in peace.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Yeah. So they've got the idea, but they've got the wrong person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this passage is quite a remarkable passage. I will just finish the next bit. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Wonderful.
We're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got news for you. It's not happened yet.
No.
But we knew that already, didn't we? Yes, yes. The time will come when there will be peace. And do you know why there'll be peace? Because the Prince of Peace has come to reside.
Yeah.
That's the point, yes? Not until then, it would seem. They're always fighting otherwise. These verses are amazing verses. And they're paralleled in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. I don't know if you know that. But I'll just have a look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. It's saying the same thing all over again. And then I've got a question for you, but I won't ask you just yet. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief amongst the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
It's verbally the same. Yes.
Yes.
The question. That's the question. Who said it first? I think Micah said it first.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Isaiah. Because Micah's slightly before Isaiah, I think. But if Isaiah got it first, Micah's nicked it off him. But that's not a problem.
No.
I've got another thought.
Yeah.
Maybe God gave it to them both.
Probably.
Yeah. Things are not impossible with the Lord.
We've
got it both ears.
Well, he said here the date, look, so this is 700. 1969 is
yes.
the BC, which is close to
Mike, isn't
it?
It is. They lived during the same period.
I want to say, yeah.
Yes. They were contemporaries, yes.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe they said, you know, I've got this prophecy from the Lord. And mm-hmm. Isaiah says, hey, that sounds good. I'll have that as well. I don't know.
It's a bit more like the way they were. It's probably just more like that God did give it.
It's quite possible. I have no problem with that at all.
It would seem to me that's what they do.
If God can give the word, he can give it twice.
They wouldn't copy, would they?
No. Well, why not? I mean, if it's a message from God for the world, it's worth repeating. Yeah.
But I mean, but that's not copying it.
No, it's not. No, it's redistributing.
Sharing it. Yes. Yeah. So it means it happens once, it will happen again.
Well, it can do. Yes. All right. So yes, whoever got it first, if there was a first in the matter. God wants people to know this, that there's going to be a time in this world when peace will reign. Hallelujah.
He doesn't want
us to argue
with it.
Exactly. No, I couldn't have put it better myself.
Words might come and are in different areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isaiah was the country boy. No, sorry. Mike. Isaiah was the city boy. And Mike is the country boy. Mm-hmm. So basically, essentially, God is saying is, wherever you live, this is a message for you. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the last little bit because it applies to me. Every man will sit under his own vine and his own fig tree. I've got the vine. Well, I did have a fig tree, but it wasn't a fig tree, really.
It's
vine,
isn't it?
I've got the vine, yes. Yes.
And I got that first, so for you, I could read that.
You could assess for you as well. What does it mean?
That was for you.
Yes. What does it mean the man can sit under his own vine and fig tree?
Relax.
Yeah, the Lord provides. Yeah. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's that you can't gather grapes during wartime.
Yeah.
It's a place of peace, prosperity, God's blessing. He'll sit under his own fig tree, you know, and no one will make them afraid. No threats, no dangers. Yeah. Praise the Lord. For, and this I love, this is the bit at the end, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. And when the Lord Almighty speaks, everybody will have to be quiet, and it also means it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It may seem impossible in this world in which we live, but it's going to. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. All nations may walk in the, and we go back to Micah's time now, he's just gone right forward to the end of time, and then he says, all nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever. So he's talking about God's people in his day, I think, really, saying is all these nations, they've got all their gods and everything else, they'll help and keep them. We're having the one true God. We'll walk with
you
him.
You said about the kingdom of heaven, it's seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And
yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
And all these things will be given unto you.
So we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Well, yes. Who's the we? It's got to be God's people.
God.
The ones who are genuinely his people. Yes. So that's good. Yeah. Now then, verse 6. In that day, declares the Lord. Well, we're back in there that time again, aren't we?
That time.
Yes. Yeah. Or leading up to it. I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles, and those I brought to grief. Mm-hmm. I will. So he's going to gather them together again.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, is he doing that? Well, he's doing it literally in Israel. I mean, there are people coming from all over the world, some lame, some in good state and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening literally for Israel, but it's true also on the spiritual plane. God's gathering a people for himself from all nations, and we can say we're lame, we're blind, we're damaged people. God's making us whole.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He comes to call the ones that don't deserve blessing to bless them. Yeah.
Did you say all nations? But in two there, it says many nations. You call it all nations.
Yeah. Well, it's the idea of many nations.
Same.
Yes. It's
you
the same idea.
Carry on.
Gather the lame, assemble the exiles. Well, as I say, that's literally happening for Israel. If you want to apply, let's say, the spiritual side, Paul talks about in Ephesians, doesn't he? He says to the Gentiles, he says, just remember, you were once aliens, foreigners, exiles, outsiders. But now you're grafted in, you're part of the kingdom. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Sure, it shows, you know, God's tenderness, but you've got to have, and he wants to do that, and his father's love, but we've also got to remember what's come before in the way of discipline.
Well, he's coming again, Joe. Yeah, you're right. And he does exactly what you've just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'll see in a moment, I will make the lame a remnant. Those driven away a strong nation, I call that healing.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lame, a remnant means they belong to him. There is now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I mean, think of it, who but our God would take hold of a ragbag of people like this and make them into an army? I mean, it just doesn't happen, does it? But it does with the Lord. Yeah. He takes the weak.
It does say my remnant, doesn't it?
Yes.
So he's personal.
Yeah.
Hey, so he is the Lord God Almighty, so he's the only one that sees it.
Can fix it, yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is a good one. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion. So, do you know where the palace is? It's in Mount Zion.
Yeah.
That's where the king resides, yes. From that day and forever. How about that?
Amen.
Now, it's a lovely thought, this one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It means that when the Lord reigns, he's going to reign. You needn't worry about it all going pear-shaped or wrong.
I can say, isn't it in Revelation where the city of God comes down?
Mm-hmm.
So, it, I mean, on the plane,
that's the fulfillment,
on the natural plane,
yeah.
You're thinking, well, this world is not going to stay here because it's all going to be new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that city of God is coming down from heaven.
Yes, it is this world, but it isn't this world.
Yeah.
It's the now and not yet again, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so the king's established his palace at Mount Zion, going to stay there, permanent residence. The flag's going to fly all the time. You know the Queen, when she's in residence, the flag's up.
Yes.
Well, the flag's going to be up all the time.
All the time.
The king's not going anywhere, he's staying. Yeah, praise the Lord. As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Now, the watchtower of the flock, that's the people of God, he's using that as a sort of a, they're the lookout in a way. The watchtower,
where Jehovah's got
this, it's where they get the name watchtower from, what other places, but yeah.
Or
stronghold of the daughter of Zion, that's the central place where the rule is, where the king reigns, yeah.
Yeah.
It says, the former dominion will be restored to you, kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that's going to be the centre of the kingdom.
Yeah,
and this is what I'm certain the disciples, after Jesus' resurrection, were thinking about when they saw him just before he left them to go up to heaven. They said, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I'm certain that's one of the verses they got in mind.
Mm-hmm.
The dominion's going to be re-established. It's going to be finally God rules in Jerusalem. That's what and they say, Jesus, is it going to be now? And he says, it's not for you to know the times.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait for that one. We've been waiting quite a while.
Yeah,
you know,
but time's only a day, isn't it?
It's right.
Yeah.
It's coming. But the time will come when the kingdom is centred on the earth at Jerusalem, at the centre there, with the Lord reigning from there. So that's the promise. That's good, eh?
Yeah.
And that should help you to get through the difficult bits in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we go back to Micah's time now, because he's told them the good stuff's coming, and as Jill has said, that's in the face of having to discipline them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 9, why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your counselor perished that pain seizes you like a woman in labour?
Yeah.
Well, they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a king, really.
No.
Yeah. And all their advice has gone to pot because they're not listening properly. Yeah. And pain seizes you like that of a woman in labour. Well, I'll take your word for it, ladies. It means it's pretty sore. Right. Writhing agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labour, for you now must leave the city to camp in the open field. He's warning these people. The time's coming, and it's pretty soon, when you are going to be chucked out of the land and out of the city. You're going to go out of the city to the open field. No cover, no protection. He's taken away their cover in that sense, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of their sins.
Yes.
That's what it's about, yeah. So God is going to discipline this lot. Yeah.
He says you'll go to Babylon, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm coming to that, yes. You will go to Babylon. Yeah, you'll go to Babylon. Now, I don't suppose you know this, but that verse causes real problems for the Bible skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible, we're going to say, liberal people who don't believe God's word, you know.
No, well.
Now, the reason I say that is that Micah is saying there something that is really prophetic. I don't know if you know, a prophet's job has two jobs. One is to talk to the people, tell them what God's saying at their time, but the other is to tell them what God's going to do in the future.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of these future bits, because he uses the name Babylon, and at this time, Babylon is nowhere on the horizon. It's Assyria.
Yeah.
They're the top dog.
Yeah.
They're the power that's around.
Yeah.
And Babylon doesn't turn up till 100 years later. Mm-hmm. Something like that. I mean, this is serious prophecy. But I got news for you.
Yeah.
If the liberals have problems with him prophesying a couple of 100 years ahead, they got real problems with chapter 5. Because he prophesies that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm quite happy to accept Micah knows what he's talking about, because God told him.
Yeah.
So they're going to. So this is before the south goes off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
The north is about to go to Assyria, but the whole caboodle are going to eventually finish up, carted off to the Babylonian Empire.
Babylon could have been the centre of evil, though, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, thank you. That's another point.
Yes.
Babylon is a sort of code word for the world, really.
Yeah.
It's just it's the empire, the evil, we call it if you use the Star Wars, it's the evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
That's Babylon.
On a personal level, I mean, we all go out into the world and have to be rescued back, don't we? Don't you think?
All of us, it's always word in it.
All of us go astray.
Well, not all go astray, thankfully.
Well, no, but we're all
sinful. We're all sinful, yes. But what I'm getting at, are you suggesting that, you know, if someone becomes a shining, bright Christian and then they suddenly go off the boil and go into the world and blow it for a few years and then come back? That happens.
That happens.
But that's not the way it's meant to be.
No.
And when we're in the world to start with, and then when Jesus saves us, we're in the world, but not of it.
Not off the world.
But it happens through
too many
teaching and
yes, it can happen. Yes.
I think they're all going near picture, wouldn't it? Because like that, you know, it was just like sort of well, God let the touch fade a lot more, almost.
Yeah.
And then it were like different sorts of fireworks in a way. You know, you got your own candle that fizzed out. You got your Catherine wheel that was rather lovely and went round and round. You got you got rockets that took off and went, you know, it went, well, it was all that sort of thing. You know, you could see people
different people do different things. Interesting thought. Good bonfire night,
No.
Are you a rocket or a Catherine wheel?
Well, you do.
Going around in circles.
But the thing is, you know, you have to know God's God's fascination and what it is. If if you fizzle out, he'll still.
He's on your case,
He has it in the next verse where he says, "I will redeem you."
You will go to Babylon. There you will be redeemed or rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies. In other words, the Lord is saying through Micah, Jerusalem, people of God, I'm going to have to discipline this lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to do it in order to save for the future. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to discipline this lot. But that's not the end of the story. Paul talks about it. Has God forgotten the Jews, for example? Yeah? And Paul says, by no way, I'm one.
Never. Mm-hmm.
And exactly in all those other things, as he says. Yeah? And what God's saying is here, it might look like the end of the world, but I promise you, it is not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the world is the first four verses.
Mm-hmm.
Where the king reigns in Jerusalem, so we come to this, he's going to redeem them back from the hand of the enemies. But now, so we're back to his time again, what's gathering, the clouds are beginning to form, but now many nations are gathered against you. So it's not all the world at that point, is it? Many nations are gathered against you, but just listen to this, they say, let her be defiled, let her eyes gloat over Zion. Basically, they say, we'll trash the place.
Yeah,
that's what they want to see, destroy the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They do not understand his plan. Well, no, the world never has, never will.
Mm-hmm.
Peter says, if they'd have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
Yeah, but... God's plans are a lot higher than ours, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, there they are, gathering themselves and I think this is prophetic of the end again. I think the time will come when the nations will gang up on Israel. I mean, they're doing it already.
Right.
I mean, they're ganging up on the church in that sense. The people of God, we're having it in the neck through persecution. There are more Christians persecuted today than there's ever been. So there's that side of it, but also on the Israel side of it, the nations are, like with Iran at the head of it all, threatening and all of that sort of thing. And he says, they think they're going to wipe the church out and wipe Israel out. They think they're going to do that. That's their plan. But they don't know the thoughts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand his plan. He who gathers them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Do you know what you do with sheaves?
Yes.
You take them to the threshing floor. What do you do with them on the threshing floor?
Yes.
You thresh them. There they are all gathering to have a good go, and who's going to get thumped?
Ben.
Yeah. Rise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will give you horns of iron, and I will give you hoofs of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. So it's surprising. This is the ultimate fulfillment of the David and Goliath story. There they are, the weak, seemingly poor people of God, facing this vast attack, right? And the Lord comes and thrashes them. Yes. He'll give them horns of iron. Well, normally in the threshing, it was the ox that they had. They trampled over the wheat and the stalks, so on. It was their hooves that did the job. But he's talking about them having horns of iron. It's to sort of complete the picture. Horns are a picture of strength. Iron is really strong. So these are going to be really strong people because God's with them. And that's true for you and me, brothers and sisters. When I am weak, in Jesus.
And when that's happening, he's restoring.
He's restoring. I'll give you hoofs of bronze. It means they're going to be really hard hoofs.
Is he threshing Israel?
No. It's the sheaves. It's the other nations. We're back to the end times again. He's saying, I'm going to judge you, but I'm going to redeem you. And now when I've redeemed you, then this lot, if they want to have a go at you, they'll find out they've picked the wrong sword.
Why he's been hard on Israel is because he wants them to be more reliant on him.
Yes.
And turn them back to
him. God uses afflictions to drive us to him.
The Lord always wants to restore, doesn't he?
Right.
You said before about Babylon, that's where the Israelites are being punished.
Yes.
And then restored. Now we're going on to look at other nations. So
The other nations, once they're restored back to the land.
Yeah.
Israel's restored back to the land. If we use it spiritually, the world people are restored to the Lord in the kingdom. We're restored back to the land. Let's just stick with that. Restored back to the land, and then the enemies want to destroy what God's doing. And God says, they don't know, but all I'm doing is I'm gathering them like wood for a fire.
Gathering them in order to
destroy them. You read about this.
Destroy them or redeem them?
No, destroy. The enemy is ultimately destroyed. You see that in Zechariah. It talks about the Gog Magog type thing, gathering against the people. And God. And if they've heard and rejected, they become really vicious enemies. I mean, people have got to hear the gospel.
Some people believe that at the end of the day, everybody will.
Well, they're wrong.
Revelation says that some people won't be obedient. They won't give up their darkness side of their lives.
I mean, what do they say about the verse, their destiny is destruction, their God is their belly? Enemies of the cross.
Well, that song's on then, it said every knee will bow.
Every knee to bow is one thing, but it's not every knee will bow in worship. I mean, the slaves bow, because they have to, and that's Satan and his mates. They'll be bowing, because God's called. But be too late. Yes. So everybody's going to be subject to the rule of the King.
Of the Lord.
So all sinners and sheep, the Lord.
And what about the passage of the sheep and the goats?
I mean,
not everybody's saved. There won't be any goats if they're all saved. Will they?
But
they've got to. I mean, the goats. I mean, I've said it before. We're all born goats.
Yes.
As we hear the good news and respond to that, we become sheep.
And plus the fact the scripture talks about, like, the unbelieving husband being covered by the believing wife.
Yes.
So therefore, you know, there are people that are in that place where they're unbelieving.
Yes.
But then...
But, that, but what it means, I think, that it's important to get it. It doesn't mean they're saved.
No.
Yeah. It means they're in a unique and special position because they're in a place where they can hear and see the gospel in front of their eyes.
Yeah.
They've got a better chance of hearing and responding than the unbeliever who hasn't got any idea whatsoever.
Yeah. I think there are hard questions for it. So I don't know. You know, we never used to talk about it too much when I was young. But you know, as regards applying things.
Yeah.
I know at one time he was talking and he found it pretty choked up when he was flying, you know, and when all the planes went up on the cruise, and I particularly said, you know, he had a young Canadian of 18 on his first sortie that died, and I said, you know, we were talking about turning to the Lord and whatever, and times it's very difficult to understand.
This world's confusing. Yeah.
When a lot of people were died like that, I could think of was thought somehow the Lord must have been fair to people.
Yeah.
In some
God,
way.
Yeah. When we God is fair, God is just. There's going to be no question about that.
Yeah.
And in how God deals with individuals, we don't know.
No.
We really don't.
This is why it's so hard. You can't judge people because at the end of the day, you don't know what's happened in their lifetime.
No. Let's we'll just finish. I've got my hoofs of bronze here still. We're crunching things at the moment. Yes. He'll break to pieces many nations. So those are the nations who are it says nations, but it means the people who are resistant and rebelling. Mm-hmm. When he breaks them to pieces, it's destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not salvation at that point. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. And my translation says, you will devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the nations. The New King James translates the Hebrew correctly when it says, I will devote their ill-gotten gains to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the nations. God saying basically is, I'll do it. I'll sort it out. I'll take what they've got and use it for my own glory.
Well, it takes things that was...
He'll use what the world has done.
What I've gotten gains, he'll take them.
Their ill-gotten gains, he's going to sort them out.
But and he can use them.
He restores them to his people. They're ill-gotten because they nicked them off God's people.
Yeah.
For example.
I thought he meant the little raid of Selfridges or something.
No. No. I will devote their ill-gotten gains.
Ill-gotten.
Yeah, what they've done wrong, I'll fix. I'll sort it out. That's what God is actually saying there.
Mm.
And so he's going to be back to how it meant to be. King ruling in the world. The nations, after this final war, this is the final war to my mind, this when they dealt with, because they've gathered against God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the final war. Then the king reigns forever on Mount Zion, and we stream up and go and worship. Praise the Lord. You can ask him.
I've been thinking, right, what you said. I mean, the kingdom is here now.
Yeah.
And
not yet.
We can pray for these things now.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, when people have been injustice against them and or stolen, you can pray for that to be returned.
To be restored, yes.
So in a way, that is coming to pass. But as you say, it's sort of. In fullness.
Yeah, it's now but not yet.
Yeah.
That's the way it always is in this world at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just remember, the not yet will be.
Yeah.
That's the point, yes. We've got something we can be hopeful and positive about.
Yeah.
And it encourages, like you say, it encourages to do our bit of the now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus didn't say to the disciples, you know, stay in Jerusalem until the end of the world arrives and everything's going to be great.
No.
You're part of the process of bringing towards the end of time when the people are gathered in into the kingdom. Yeah, so we're doing the bit now.
The sheaves are gathered in.
Yeah, but they're different sheaves to this sheaves. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, gather in the sheaves, the wheat for the harvest.
Yes.
There's a thing, isn't there? If you won't, God can't.
In many ways that could be true, but it's not entirely biblical.
No.
I'll give you the example of that. Well, can you think of one? Yes. If you won't, God can't.
If you won't do what he says.
Let me take you to the book of Esther. Yeah. Yeah. In the book of Esther, Esther says, I can't go and see the king. He didn't want to see me for the last month. I might get killed going in there.
Yeah.
And Mordecai says, if you don't, then salvation will arise from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you won't get away with it.
Yeah.
So if you won't, God can, but you might suffer for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. At the end of the day, God needed a man on the earth and needs a man on the earth to do his bidding. And, and the thing is, that's why Jesus had to come, isn't it?
Yeah. And God works through people now.
Yeah.
Come in, Nigel. Take her away.
Must be arguing again.
Oh, terrible. Absolutely terrible. Okay, Kath. Lovely to see you, Pet.
Bye.
Thanks, Nigel.
Okay,
that's it, yes, bye.
Don't get wet. You're right off.
We'll pray in a minute,
We're getting used to you in our midst.
Nice.
You want to stay for longer.
You want a bomb.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Right, let's pray, shall we? Lord, you taught your disciples to pray, may your kingdom come. Lord, thank you. We can see in these verses of dear old Micah, Lord, just perhaps a brief glimpse of what a wonderful, wonderful place that's going to be, a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you that as children bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, Lord, we have a part in it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord, we have a part in the now. Mm-hmm. It's not just the future, Lord, the now in loving you and serving you. As Micah said, the nations may have their gods, their pagans, the world has its words and its gods, Lord, but we will walk in the name of the Lord. Lord, help us to do that, to know your laws, to know your word, and to live them out, Lord. Grant us grace, Lord. We realize it is of your blessing all the time, and we thank you for it, Lord. But Lord, we thank you. We look forward to that day when wars will cease. Man won't be at enmity with man anymore. The devil will be in his place where he's going to stay, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that this is the future, Lord. And as we read that word that Micah said, the Lord Almighty has spoken. Lord, that's it. Settled, sorted. And we thank you, Lord, it shall be. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.